All right, good evening. Oh, I need that energy to come way up. Good evening.
Good evening.
Wonderful. It's so good to see you all. Welcome back to Mind Games 2. We are in our third installment. I've had several people ask, why is it called Mind Games 2? Well, it's not Mind Games also. It's Mind Games as in the second one. Last summer, we began our summer workshops, and they went well. And so they decided to bring me back. So it's so good to see you all. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Xavier Small. I am the counseling pastor here at Rosedale. I am also a licensed therapist, and you've heard my spiel. I love being able to bridge the gap between mental health and the church, and so we are going to have a good time. If you've been with us, how many of us are 100%? Pastor Xavier, I've been here all 3 weeks so far. Wonderful, wonderful. Keep it going. We have five more weeks after this. And what we've been doing is I kind of laid out what we're going to be doing. We started week one with emotional acknowledgement. Now, I'm kind of approaching mind games kind of like math. You start with 1 + 1, and then you move to multiplication, and then you move to long division, and then you algebra, and it keeps going and keeps going. And the goal is that as we work through this list, that you will be someone who feels more emotionally intelligent. If you happen to have missed any of the other episodes, or maybe you heard about I2US, which was the workshop that I was able to lead on healthy relationships, both platonic and romantic, or if you missed Mind Games 1, which was when we were able to just talk about an overview of mind games or of mental health and the church, all of the episodes are there. I cleaned out everything else that was on the podcast except for workshops. And so it's easy for you. So if you are able to use this, it'll take you to this landing page. And the landing page will either give you the option to click Spotify, but if you are not a Spotify user and you need more options, just click more platforms, and there are going to be some other platforms for you to look at. All right, we're done with all that? The housekeeping mumbo jumbo. We ready to get into the topic for tonight? Yeah. Oh, y'all are dead tonight. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Look, y'all gotta hype me up. Y'all gotta give me some energy. Like y'all draining me right now.
There we go.
There we go. I love it. Session 3. We're gonna talk about emotional acceptance.
Amen.
There you go. That's the kind of energy I need. A little sarcastic, but I'll take it. Better than nothing.
It was not.
Well, thank you, Miss Shirley. I appreciate that. All right. Building block one was emotional awareness, yep. Right? Emotional awareness. And that was us taking time to just give space. Many of us are so closed off emotionally. We don't give space for our emotions to even be present, right? Even be present. Acknowledge the fact that we are emotional beings. But then last week, we talked about emotional acknowledgement. So now it's not just giving space to the emotions, but being able to work on your identification skills. I feel, insert emotion, happiness, sadness. I feel perturbed. I feel elated. I feel, insert emotion, being able to identify it. And week 3, we're going to talk about emotional acceptance. It's time we learn to sit with our emotions. You're going to hear me talk about this term, sit with your emotions, a lot over the rest of our time together. But emotional acceptance refers to the acknowledgement and allowance. So do you see how it's the compilation of both weeks so far? The emotional acceptance refers to the acknowledgement and allowance of one's own emotions. But here's the big part. Without judgment or resistance. Without judgment or resistance. This is your ability to be able to just let your emotions be. It involves recognizing and validating the emotions that arise within oneself, whether they are positive or negative, without trying to suppress or deny them. So you and I do two out of the 4 things that were listed here, right? It's positive, negative, or trying to suppress or deny. And we do that a lot as individuals. And what I mean by that is that we have a tendency to view it as like it's right or it's wrong, or it's positive or it's negative. And here's the newsflash, all right? Regardless of if it's right or wrong, or positive or negative, it's yours. You're going to hear me say a lot, if you say, Xavier, shape up. Don't let that affect you. I'm not going to magically go, You know what? You're right. I'm good now. No one does that. Your emotions are still your emotions. You have to give space to those emotions. And so tonight is all about whether they are positive or negative, leaving them alone. Leaving them alone, because what we, especially if we are not people who are naturally prone or predisposed to connecting with our emotions, the next step is going to be for us to suppress those emotions. I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to distract myself by insert activity here. I'm going to suppress them. And baby, you've heard me say it. You sweep that under the rug long enough, you're going to trip over it. Be careful. Be careful. Instead of struggling against or avoiding uncomfortable feelings, emotional acceptance involves embracing them as a natural part of the human experience. A natural part of the human experience. It's about being open to experiencing and understanding emotions fully, which can lead to greater self-awareness, which we want. Nod your head yes. Resilience and psychological well-being. Tonight, I want to teach you to just be able to just sit with them. Just let them be without judgment, without trying to change them, without trying to suppress them, without trying to overcome them. And this is the part that we skip a lot in our ability to work on emotional healing, is that as you work on identification and then you work on why you know it, the next step is to be able to say, can I give myself permission to just allow myself to be angry? Allow myself to be sad. Allow myself to be frustrated. Allow myself some happiness. Allow myself some peace. We are big self-sabotagers. So that's what we're going to spend time tonight. So, of course, you know I got two hats. And tonight we're going to spend time first looking at the pastor hat. Now I have a disclaimer. All right? I have a disclaimer. The Bible does not have much scripture explicitly talking about accepting your emotions. All right, I want to go ahead and say that off the bat. But there is scripture supporting sitting and being still. And that's kind of when we look at the pastor hat, I want you to know that this is going to be kind of like a little bit of like a pivot. All right, it's just being able to sit with your emotions, being able to sit with your emotions, the circumstances that are causing those emotions, all of that. And that's where we're going to kind of spend our time tonight. Okay, so let's look at what the scriptures has to say. Psalm 37:7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The word rest here in the Hebrew means to be dumb, to be astonished, to stop, or to cease. To be dumb, which is the inability to speak, to be astonished, to stop, or to cease. You know, life has a habit of shutting us up, slowing us down, causing us. I've talked with clients before about how sometimes God can sideline us. You're doing too much. And so he'll go ahead and make your body real tired. Right? You'll come down with that sickness. And I don't believe that God is. I think that God just allows the circumstances to happen. He uses the fact that we've overworked and we've done too much to just slow us down. Now your body's going to naturally do what happens when you don't give it rest. To stop, to cease. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. So what can we look at? What are we grabbing from this passage so far? First is understanding that as we work on emotional acceptance, you and I have to acquire the skill to learn not to move. To learn not to move. We're going to look at it here in a little bit, but be still and know that I am God. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Being able, and so when we look at this from the pastor perspective, we're looking at it by saying, I'm going to stay right here, and I'm just not going to leave this spot and allow God to just do all the other things. Allow God to work it out. Anybody ever tried meditation before? Like the sit down, and they tell you that one of the key components of meditation is clearing your mind. Do you know how hard that is? Do you know how hard it is to get your brain to do nothing? We speak roughly 200 to 250 words a minute, and your brain is about twice that speed. You can process like 30 things in 10 seconds. Your brain is amazing. and getting it to stop everything is a difficult task. Is a very difficult task. God says, I want you to be dumb. Say nothing. I want you to be in a place where you are astonished. You're just immobilized by it. To stop. To cease. If we're going to work on being able to accept our emotions, we have to stop moving so quickly. I'm going to take it a step further. We got to stop moving at all. And give ourselves space to just sit with all the things that are just going on. We don't have to just do it. Do stuff every time. Learn not to move, but second, practicing patience, that God will work it out. Isn't that what the verse says? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. This is not in the verses that we're looking at tonight, but the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting what?
Nothing.
Did it say do a whole bunch of stuff? Did it say become a hyper-Christian? Did it say fall back from your walk? It says be patient. And when patience is finished, patience is going to make sure that all of the elements that you need in order for your machine to function. That word mature, perfect means maturity, a full maturation. That in the end, you will have no lack. Do you realize how great a faith it takes to achieve that? To say, God, my bills are due and I'm terrified. I'm stressed. I'm anxious. God, my family member, I just came from a wake just now where they're burying the matriarch of their family. That's going to be a very difficult thing for them to do. But to understand that God, the author, can I preach a little bit? The author and finisher of our faith, right? This comforter who will guide and teach us in all things. I will not leave you comfortless. To be able to say, God, I am completely beside myself because of these circumstances, but I know that your way is better. I know that I have to decrease so that you can increase. I know that I have to get out of the way so that you can do your part. And you have to be willing to stay right where you're at and say, God, you'll work it out. I trust you. Part of accepting those emotions is being able to realize that you don't have to do anything with them so fast. Give yourself the room to just sit. Learn not to move. And that's the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is an emotion that will fluctuate. And it's good to be happy. But joy is a supernatural understanding that God has it all under control. And as long as you and I understand that God has it under control, we can be happy and sad and angry and displaced and all of the different things that we don't like emotionally. But I understand that at the end of the day, I have a sovereign God. Who's got me? Who's got me? And lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the end of the earth. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you, whithersoever thou goest. That is the joy that pushes us through difficult seasons of emotional instability. God, I don't know what I'm doing or what I'm dealing with or what's happening. God says, you don't have to worry about that. That's not your job. That's mine. Let me do my job. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. What else? Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what? I don't think that you and I give ourselves enough credit or understanding that sometimes we are going to be in a sowing season. Do you know what I mean by a sowing season? All of us at some point are going to find ourselves in a place where we're having to figure it out, where life is difficult, where we're confused, where we're stressed, where we're anxious, where we're angry, where we've rejected or abandoned. We're going to find ourselves in those different places over time. But a sowing season is that time where you are tilling the ground, you're planting those seeds, you are watering it. But what you have to understand, and this is how joy works, is that supernatural, again, understanding that the harvest is coming. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? That the harvest is coming. That after every sowing season, there will be a reaping season. Do you understand that? It takes spiritual foreknowledge to realize that this is not the end of the road. That this is not the end of the fight. And check this out. When I understand that conceptually, I can then say this too shall pass. And I don't have to do a whole bunch of stuff to help me to navigate myself through it. That's why when I work with my clients about grief, when with grief, I tell them the best way through grief is what? Who knows the answer? What's the best way through grief? Here's the cheat code. You ready? It's through grief. It's through. And here's what happens. When you try to fast-paced, this is not even in the notes, y'all. It's free. I'm preaching a little bit. When you try to fast-track your way through your emotional darkness, you actually will compound the problem. You have to be able to give yourself the space to realize that the Bible says this. And that's, I'm not just saying stuff. I'm quoting scripture. Those who sow in tears will reap in what? Come on, church. You sow in tears, you will reap in joy. And that understanding that that is what's coming. Oh, I'm getting chills. That's what's coming. I'm getting emotional. That's what's coming next is going to be what allows us. It's going to be the vehicle that gets us the rest of the way through our difficulties. So when I have that understanding chilling in the subconscious of my mind, I can consciously just allow myself to be present. I'm infuriated right now, and that's okay. I am absolutely distraught right now, and that's okay. I'm going to give myself the permission to do it. What I want you to know from the scriptures, get in the habit of hanging in there. Can I share with y'all some more secrets? You're not going to like what I have to say, but I'm not here because I want to, you know, pacify your emotions. I'm trying to help you to deal with them, right? Your life as a believer is going to be a constant faith-building cycle. Do you understand that? This is what I mean. Is that you will go through a scenario, and whether you willfully or you go kicking and screaming, the end result of that season will usually result in one of two things: you falling away from God or you increasing in your faith. So let's say you take the step to increase in your faith. You're going to get there, and then you're going to be like, "Puh, me and God, dap God up. We made it." Guess what God does next? Time to take some more steps. And it's going to be difficult. And God's going to say, yeah, come on ahead. Come on out of that boat. Walk toward me. And you're going to get there, and by the time you're going to be skipping and doing all your things, like, yeah, do this. And then guess what God's going to do? But let patience have its perfect work, that when it's finished, you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And you look back and say, wow, look how far I've come. Scratch that. Look how far God's brought me. Scratch that. Look how far God has come. Come on, church. We have to let God do his job. Your job and my job is to hang in there. Your job and my job is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You and I's job is to be Psalm 1 and to be planted by that rivers of water, connected to the river, connected to that vine where we get our nutrients from. Our job is to lift our eyes into the hill from whence comes our help. Our job is to stand on the rock that is higher than I. Come on, church, we got to get in the word to know how to handle it. Your job is to hang in there. Why? Why? Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Do you know why there has to be rules? Because someone broke it once. Someone did something stupid. And it's like, yeah, we probably should make them cross at the crosswalk. Let's make a rule about that. God, in his omniscience, knowing that you and I will tap out. Y'all know Pastor Ryan Scott? Pastor Ryan Scott been taking me to the gym twice a week. And he's a beast. And while we're doing this exercise today, it's a full body exercise. It starts as like a deadlift and it turns into like a barbell row. And I'm like on set 3 and I realize that I'm getting to a place where I'm tapping out. I don't even do another set. I said, you know what? I realize that I'm hitting my limit. You know what's happening? I am predisposed to growing weary. God says in the Psalms that he remembers that you and I are but dust. I am prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I am prone to, y'all get the point? And so God had to step in Galatians 6 and say, Xavier, don't grow weary in well-doing. God, what? Why is this happening to me? I'm serving you. I'm a faithful tither. I go to the church every week. I read my Bible. I spend time in prayer. I do all the things that good Christians do. So why am I still going to do this? God says, don't worry about that. Don't grow weary in well-doing. I need you to understand that you have to hang in there. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Get in the habit of hanging in there, but learning to sit will yield results in time. Here's the paradox. Doing nothing is what gets something done. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. God says, go on, hold up. Let me take care of this. Imagine the spiritual fervor and strength and power that you and I would have as believers when we start to, number one, fight from the victory, not for the victory, but two, realize that we've already gotten the victory, but three, realizing that if I let God fight the battle, I win 10 out of 10 times. He has never lost a battle. He's the all-time undisputed champion. He does not lose. And so once my eyes are fixed on him, like, God, I mean, that date is getting close. God, that overdraft fee is getting ready to hit my account. God's like, I know that. You think if I could fashion the universe in 6 days, you don't think that I know how your bank account works? But be still and know that I am God. But hang in there. Learn to sit. Learn to yield to me. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Why? Because you will reap in due time. We sow in tears, but we reap in joy. What does the Bible say? That weeping endures for a night, but what comes in the morning, church? Joy does. You have to know the end game. But here's the truth. You can't claim promises that you don't know. So what do I do, Pastor, when I'm an emotional wreck? You get close to the Father. You get close to the Father. My little Rowan stubbed her toe this morning. Oh my gosh, it was the most dramatic thing I've ever seen. Fell on the ground, slithering. Daddy! But you know what? She was in best case scenario. Because who better to help her with whatever the magnitude of her problems than Dad? Who better to help us? Come on, church, too easy. Who better to help us with no matter what the magnitudes are of our problems but God? Abba, Father, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God, I'm an emotional wreck. God, I can't get my emotions under control. God, I'm angry. God, I'm bitter. God, I'm sad. God, I'm distraught. God, I'm displaced. God, I'm perplexed. He says, hey, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. You're trying to carry a God-sized problem that does not belong to you. Sit still. Let God do his job. Let God do his job. Get in the habit of hanging in there. Learn to sit. Learn to sit. And realize that it will yield the results in due time. Psalm 46:10. I talked about this a second ago. Brother Poehler quoted the reference already. But Psalm 46:10. But be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The phrase be still, check this out, means to become slack. It means to become slack. In layman's terms, to release the tension. Now notice it doesn't say let the rope go. It doesn't say just abandon the rope. It says give us some slack. Give us some slack. Loosen up. Learn to loosen it. You and I get so uptight when it comes to our emotions. And imagine what would happen if we stopped focusing on self and started focusing on God. If we stopped focusing on our abilities and realize that we can focus on what God can do. God is the strength of 10,000 therapists. we need to cut ourselves some slack. You guys have heard me say this before, but maybe if you knew, you haven't heard it, so I'll share it again. There is a level of self-focus that is biblical. Y'all heard me say this before? Who's heard me say this before? All right, so well, a lot of y'all are gonna hear it for the first time. There's a level of self-focus that is biblical. Here's what I mean. That egocentrism works to a point. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might. And the second is like unto the first. That you would love your neighbor as what? All right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might present to the glorious church, not having spot or any wrinkle or any such thing. So shall a man love his wife. For no one ever yet hated his flesh, but he nourisheth and cherisheth it. So shall a man love his wife. Galatians chapter 6, we always know, you know, bear one another's burdens, bear one another's burdens. But Galatians 6, 4 and 5 say that every man must bear his own burden. There is a level of focus on your mental, emotional, spiritual well-being that postures you toward being able to help other people. You and I are way too uptight. I'm challenging you to give God a little slack to do what he wants to do with your rope. We got to loosen it up. We're moving along. Next chapter. Next verse. Next verse. This is the last one, I believe. Psalm 52:55. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Again, the Bible doesn't explicitly say, accept your emotions. What it does say is that you don't have to do a whole bunch of stuff. So what are we trying to get from this? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So what does that mean that you should do? That's understanding that letting God have the burden. Off the jump. Nope, not mine. Not doing it. I want you to, if you hear nothing else that I say tonight, I want you to remember this. Are you listening? Your ears perking up? If it feels like it's too big for you, it's supposed to be. Do you hear me? If you feel like it's too big for you, if you feel like it's too heavy, if you feel like it's too much, it's because it's supposed to be. It's not your job to carry it. The word yoke is a farming term. You guys knew that? The yoke is the contraption that they would put on two big horses, bisons, insert giant animal that will squish me. And what they would do is they would put typically the yoke on two of these animals. And their job would be to pull whatever it might be. It might be the machinery that's helping to till the ground. It might be pulling passengers, whatever it might be. But what they usually will do is they will try to pair the animal with the same animal of like strength. You understand? They're not going to put a little horse. We'll use a horse. They're not going to use a little horse and then pair it with a big horse. That big horse will drag that little horse, or he will slow it down. They're also not going to pair a big horse with a little one for the same reason. They're also not going to put a two-animal yoke on one animal. But here's what God does. You hearing me? God says, I will take that yoke and put it on myself. And what was a two-man job is a one-God job. And I'm going to carry the full weight and the full brunt and the full burden of this. Pastor, where do you see that? The gospel. As Jesus, the propitiation for our sins, took on the sin of every man, woman, and child, past, present, and future. Carried the weight of it. So much pressure as great drops of blood. As great drops of blood. Took on the weight of the entire world, indefinite past, indefinite present, indefinite future, and carried the whole yoke of the entire universe on his shoulders and won. Woo! And won. That's why Paul said, death, where is your sting? Where's your sting? The champion, the almighty, the undisputed champion is in my corner. Let God have the burden. Why? Because he's the only one who can carry it. So when you start feeling like, man, I don't know if I can do this, it's because it's not your job. Leave it alone. It's scary. And look, more Bible. Remember in the Bible when King Saul attacked that Philistine garrison and thought he was going to get away with it, except he didn't? So the Philistines were going to strike back. And so what does Paul do? Paul calls down to Samuel. He says, Samuel, I kind of messed up. I attacked this garrison and they're coming to fight back and we really don't have the manpower. I'm not sure what we're going to do. I need you to call on God for me. Right? Y'all remember that story? 1 Samuel? If not, go read it. Okay? And so what the Bible lets us know is that Saul is waiting on Samuel and waiting on Samuel and waiting on Samuel. And can someone tell me what Saul does? Does anyone know? He offered the sacrifice himself. Now, if you know, this is pre-cross Bible times. Can any Joe Schmo perform the sacrifice? No. Church, I better wake up. No. Can any Joe Schmo enter the Holy of Holies? No. Even the high priests who are authorized to go into that space would have to put a rope around their body and go in there because in case they went in there incorrect and God struck them dead, they could pull their corpse out. They could even go in there and get them. Paul knew this. And Paul performed the sacrifice anyway. And guess what ended up happening? Who knows what happened as soon as Paul did the sacrifice? Who knows what happened next? Samuel showed up. Samuel showed up. If he would have waited a little bit longer, that little endeavor that Paul went on ended up costing him his kingdom, his family, and ultimately his life. In the next 2 or 3 chapters, Saul was dead and his entire line was also, including Jonathan, who David loved. You and I start acting prematurely, we start making some very dangerous decisions and some mistakes that we do not always get to walk back from. That's why the Bible says, be ye angry and what? Careful. Neither what? Who knows the rest of it? Be angry and sin not, neither give what? Give place. That's how, you see how fast that snowballs? Cain, if you do well, won't you be received? Won't you be rewarded for that? But if not, what lies at the door? Sin. You and I cannot afford, you heard me say it last week, you and I cannot afford to not be emotionally aware. I'm challenging you to not do nothing. Let God do the sustaining. Not just let God do the burden. God is doing a two-part job. Carrying the burden and then carrying you. Carrying you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Psalm 3. I believe it's verse 5. He says, I laid my head and I slept, for the Lord sustained me. For the Lord sustained me. Think about the kind of peace. The Sea of Galilee was known for being a very violent sea. And I remember the Bible was talking about how the boat's going down. They're in a very violent storm. They're trying to pull water out of the boat. And guess what? Jesus is fast asleep in the bottom of the boat. Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know how Jesus responded to him? Why is it that you are so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? Imagine what changes in your life when you start allowing the joy, the supernatural joy that comes with being a believer, to run that race for you. You start dwelling in sustenance. You start dwelling in a peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, Philippians 4 then drops down to, I believe it's verse 9, that says, and the God of peace shall be with you. But wait, in verses 4 through 6, he lets us know that we get the peace of God, but then you get also the God of peace. Psalm chapter 16 talks about how our lines with God, our lot falls on pleasant places. We get our portion is God, but a portion is a peace. But God doesn't give you a piece of himself. God gives us the totality of who he is. You get the full pie with God. Let him do his job. Let him do his job. If I can, as we get ready to switch gears, if I can break this down into two words, it's this. Be still. Be still. Pastor Xavier, I'm having a difficult time managing my emotions. Sweetheart, that's okay. Be still. But I'm having a hard time. That's okay. That's okay. Give it space. Acknowledge, identify it. Yes. But the next step is just to let it be. We are so rushed, and you don't have to be. Just be still. Let God do his job. I'll go back real quick. I think I missed something for you. Be still. It changes everything. Are there action steps? Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to get to that. Don't worry. There's stuff for you to do. But not before you let God do what God does. All right? I'm going to take my pastor hat off for a second. Put on my therapist fedora. I want to give you some practical things to work on. How do I, Pastor Xavier, how do I work on being able to accept my emotions? Biblically, we be still. But what do we do therapeutically? Number one, if you're taking notes, recognize the emotion. Recognize the emotion. This is what we've spent time talking about the last 2 weeks, right? Of being able to give space, week one. Week two, identify. The first step is acknowledge and identify the emotion you're experiencing. We call it naming in the therapeutic world. Naming, N-A-M-I-N-G, naming it. Naming it. That's your ability to identify what it is that's going on in you right then, right there. Right then, right there. Is it anger? Is it sadness? Is it fear? Yes, baby, hallelujah. Is it joy? Recognize the emotion. Number two, observe sensations. Observe sensations. I've always taught, if you've been through my workshops before, that we are multifaceted beings. We are mental. Who knows another one? Spiritual or existential? What else? Physical? What is that one? Emotional? There's one more. Who knows it? Physiological. Who said that? Way to go, Derek. Or physiological. When you're observing the 10 points to Gryffindor, I love it. As you observe your sensations, I'm talking about the physiological components. The physiological components. I know that I am anxious because I begin to feel my heart rate increase and my chest gets really tight and it's hard for me to breathe. That's what happens when Xavier gets anxious. My chest gets really tight, my heart rate increases and it's hard for me to breathe. That is a physiological symptom. So if I understand that when I am anxious, right, identifying that those are the physiological symptoms, that whenever the symptoms begin to start, I know what's happening, that I'm anxious. You see what I'm saying? Getting in the habit of naming, being able to understand what's happening. Emotions often manifest themselves like tension, butterflies in your belly, heavy feelings in your chest, sweaty palms, racing thoughts, cramping, nausea. If those things are happening and you don't know, and there is no practical reason why it's happening, like you ate something that's been in the fridge too long, right? Or your feet are hurting because you worked all day, or you have a migraine because you're out in the sun with no hat. Like, if you're thinking about those different components, then that's one thing. But if you're like, hey, I'm just driving down the street, the air condition's on, I'm listening to 95.1, Tracy's got a really hilarious laugh and I enjoy it, and then all of a sudden I'm anxious out of nowhere, I can identify that how? By knowing what's happening within me, those physiological symptoms. Observe your sensations. Third, practice mindfulness. Practice mindfulness. This, what you didn't realize that we were looking at in the pastor hat is a mind, our mindfulness techniques. Did you catch that? Being able to be still, to slow down, to do nothing, to meditate on his precepts. Be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is a meditative practice. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Being able to meditate on his precepts, the Bible says. Practice mindfulness. So, biblically, it's dwelling on those things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, lovely. If there be any good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Practically, it's things like deep breathing. It's like it's progressive muscle relaxation. It's body scanning. It's tactile and emotional grounding. Our mental and our auditory grounding. Fourth, validate your feelings. Validate your feelings. You have to support you. And someone's going to tell you that you're overreacting. Don't listen. Don't listen. Y'all know my position. I don't believe in overreacting. I believe that we react the way that we know how. Amen. We react the way that we know how. Now, if we don't like the way that we responded, yeah, we can work on that. But we respond the way that we know how to respond. You have to be able to allow yourself to be upset, to be hurt, to be human. Fifth, avoid judgment. Avoid judgment. Y'all listen to me. I deal with people who judge themselves for how they feel every single day. A step further, I deal with multiple people across multiple sessions every single day who beat themselves up because they're upset. Allow yourself to feel how you feel. You don't want to be judged. We like to hear that. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. But then we judge ourselves all the time. Let yourself be a person that upset you. Okay. That's fine. But I should be tougher than that. No, you should be more gracious than that. You're a human being, not a cyborg. Allow yourself to feel what you feel. I got just a few more. Express yourself. Express yourself. If you want a shorter, condensed version of this, it's cope. Cope. Find healthy ways to express your emotions, whether it's journaling or talking to a friend or a therapist. Or engaging in creative activities, getting involved at church, doing something different, being able to do something to express yourself. Now, quick pivot. There's a difference between distraction and coping. Now, to the naked eye, they are going to look the same. They are not. Are you hearing me? You're getting free psychotherapy right now. All right? They look the same, but they are not the same. I went to a training just a couple weeks ago where the lead psychiatrist and CEO of our clinic that's been around for 50 years did a walked through what happens when someone engages in talk therapy. What happens neurobiologically is a change in their chemical composition whenever they are talking through their problems. Validating their experience. That's why I keep saying, it's not just a mental thing. When you go into anxiety, that when there is an amygdalic takeover and your limbic system is going crazy, you didn't know I knew all those words, did you? Right? Where that fight, flight, or freeze response hormone begins to kick in. Before you can even think, I have to come down, your body is already in action, trying to get you out of that anxiety state. Why? Because it believes that it is responding to a threat. That's its job, to save your life. Because then it kicks on those neurotransmitters. They connect. They start connecting with those with that adrenaline to help mothers break down deadbolt doors so they can get to their babies, or flip cars over, or whatever, outpace greyhounds, whatever. You and I have a natural governor on our brain that is shaken when we are in fight, flight, or freeze. The body and the mind, the human body can do amazing things. Look at women who bear children. The body is meant to be resilient. But we have to find creative ways to express ourselves. Because someone can go running, and they can run to distract themselves, or they can run to cope. And the difference in that is the conversation that you have with yourself before you do it. Right now, I'm upset. And I know that if I stay in this house, I'm going to say something that I'm going to regret. Or say something that I do mean, but would have said a different way. So I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to go for a run, and I'm going to go and clear my head. And think about it. Whenever you're running, you're usually not just thinking about nothing. There's a lot of stuff going through your brain when you're going for a run. Yeah. Giving yourself time to process. And that's what we do. Having that conversation before you engage with the activity of this is my purpose. What it does is it changes the train track from distraction to, oh, we're dealing with this. We're going down a different neurological pathway right now. And what's going to happen is we're not going to be predisposed to doing that naturally. We're going to get down that path. And I'm like, this is tight. I got to suck my belly in to kind of get through here. But after a while, you don't have to do that before it becomes a new road that's traveled often. But you have to have that conversation first. Oh, here's my favorite. Practice self-compassion. Practice self-compassion. Treat yourself with kindness and understanding, especially when you are experiencing difficult emotions. You are already going through it enough. Give yourself a dang break. Please. Imagine how you would comfort, I love this. Imagine how you would comfort a friend if they were in a similar situation to yours. Now, some of us are mean and we say, get over it. It's not that big of a deal. Stop saying that if you say that. Please, don't do that. But most of us would comfort. Most of us would comfort. You're not by yourself. You're not experiencing this alone. Don't worry, I'm here for you. If you need anything, contact me. You know where you can go if you have this issue. Let me know if you want me to take the kids so that you can go and have a date. Let me. And yet we can't extend that to ourselves. So sometimes I'll have my clients write themselves a letter in third person. Dear Xavier, today you were anxious. And that's okay. That's okay. Remember that your body is already working overtime to get you out of that. Remember that that was actually a really stressful situation. Remember that you're a human being and that you have emotions. Remember that you're not alone. Remember that you have a God who loves you. You have a wife who loves you. You have a daughter who adores you. Remember, remember that this too shall pass. Remember that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Remember that I'm here for you. Love, Xavier. Be kind to yourself. Practice self-compassion. Accept impermanence. Accept impermanence. Remember that emotions are transient, meaning they are going to come and go. Do not trust them. They are fickle. They're fickle. I'm not saying don't enjoy them, right? The Bible says we look at it in Ecclesiastes. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. There's a time to rejoice. There's a time for those things. Yes, experience your emotions, but realize that they are fickle. And even if you are experiencing intense emotions right now, they will eventually pass. They'll eventually pass. Keeping that end goal in mind should help you to sit at peace. Two more. Seek support. Somebody answer this question. If you know me well. I say that there is one thing that really rivals therapy. Who knows the answer? That rivals therapy. A support system. I love it. A support system. God took 6 days taking his time, crafting the entire universe. in his hands. Isaiah said he flung those stars in the sky and they stayed. He hollowed out the waters of the earth with his hands. The Almighty God. And every day he said, ooh, the heavens and the firmament, that's good. The sun, moon, and the stars, ooh, that's good. Let there be light, bang, ooh, that was good. I like that. Ooh, let's put some fish in the sea. Put some birds. Ooh, guess what? Xavier doesn't like the sound of exoskeletons crunching under his feet. Let's create a cockroach. Let's put that in there, right? And on the seventh day, he rested, completely pleased with himself on what he did. Until you get to Genesis chapter 2. Adam has spent time in the garden and working with the garden and with the animals and naming them. And he sees that there is nobody for himself. And for the first time in God's creation, he said, it is not good that men should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Put Adam into a deep sleep and pulled Eve from his ribs. I heard a poem say this: God didn't pull Eve out of Adam's head to be Lord over him, under his feet so that he can trot on her, but out of his ribs so that they could walk side by side. If you're doing it alone, you're doing it wrong. Get some support. Pastor Xavier, that's easier said than done. I know what I said. I didn't say it was easy, I said it was necessary. Get it done. Last one and we'll go home. Cultivate resilience. Cultivate resilience. Building resilience, the ability to bounce back through self-care practices like regular exercise, healthy eating, getting enough sleep, having meaningful connections with others. These can help you to navigate challenging emotions more effectively in the long term. The ability to bounce back. You were forged to bounce back, but can I take it a step further? This is free. If you're stopping at resilience, you're doing it wrong. It's great to bounce back. But if all you're doing is bouncing back, you're doing it wrong. After you're done bouncing back, the next step is to heal. Bouncing back allows you to reposition yourself, which is good. And you and I are going to have to demonstrate resilience the rest of our lives in various ways. But if you heal, you won't get pushed around enough to have to bounce back. You can be steadfast and unmovable. And you're not doing it by yourself. I'll say this last thing. God said, consider the lilies who do nothing for me. I made them, they're pretty. They have the dew of the morning and they have that beautiful glisten on them as the sun's rays hits them. He says, they're here today, but tomorrow they're cast into the furnace. Even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says, not a single sparrow falls from the sky that I don't see. He says in the Psalms that if you make my bed in hell, or if I take my wings to the morning, I'm there. You cannot outpace an omniscient God, an omnipotent God, an omnipresent God. He says, I see all, I know all. And what I do with that is desire an intimate relationship with you. I see it all. I know it all. I know it all. Allow me to posture you toward healing. Be still. Be still. He says, if those lilies can't do anything for you, he said, the sparrow's fallen. He said, how much more do I imagine the thoughts that I have toward you? He said, your fathers, which are evil. You ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone or give you a serpent. And if your earthly father, which is evil, can do those things, imagine what I can do for you. Let me work. Let me work. So I hope that at the end of our 8 weeks, you didn't just learn resilience. If you stopped at resilience, you missed a lesson. You gained some stuff, but you didn't increase your bag fully. Emotional intelligence is a powerful skill set. I meet people I have clients from 12 all the way up into their 80s. And people all along that spectrum that do not have emotional intelligence, and it's kicking their butt. I'm here to let you know that you can get it. If anyone lack wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But you can't be like that wind that's tossed to and fro. Why? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. I'm challenging you through these 8 weeks to stand on the winning side. This is the war, mind games too, the war against your emotions. It's time to win. It's time to win. And remember this, that if all you have is God, if all that you and I have is God, then we have the majority. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for your Son. I'm not even going to ask you for the victory over our group, Lord, because we've already got it. You have already declared us forgiven. You call us a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You call us adopted into your family. You call us loved. You call us chosen. Father, I pray that we would run to you, Abba. Lord, I pray that we would get to know you for who you are, that we would be a God who, know you as a God who provides, Jehovah Jireh. That we would know you as Jehovah Rapha, Lord, a God who heals. That we would know you as Jehovah Nisi, the banner that goes before us. That we would know you as Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace. That we would know you as the great shepherd. As our mighty fortress, as our strong tower. Your word says in the Psalms that we can hide under the shelter of your wings and rejoice. Help us to fight from that victory that you've already provided for us. Help us to achieve the emotional intelligence that I believe that you want us to have. God will give you all the honor and glory for it all. In your precious and holy Son's name we pray and we're thankful. Amen.